The Foreign Exchange Management Act, or FEMA, is a cornerstone of India's economic framework introduced in 1999 to replace the outdated FERA. It was designed to align with the country's shift towards economic liberalization, promoting a more open and globally integrated economy. FEMA establishes clear rules for foreign exchange transactions, ensuring smooth currency management and compliance. This act also provides specific guidelines for import and export activities, merchant trade, and the role of authorized persons. By understanding FEMA, we gain insight into how India manages its foreign exchange to support economic growth and stability. Understanding the Foreign Exchange Management Act FEMA is essential for anyone navigating international financial transactions or currency management. These objectives will guide you through the key provisions, regulatory frameworks, and compliance mechanisms under FEMA, equipping you with the knowledge to analyze and evaluate its practical applications. By the end, you will have a comprehensive understanding of FEMA's role in managing foreign exchange, ensuring compliance, and facilitating global trade. Let's dive into these objectives to build your expertise step by step. The Foreign Exchange Management Act, or FEMA, was enacted in 1999 to replace the older FERA, marking a significant shift in India's approach to foreign exchange. This act was designed to align with the country's economic liberalization policies, encouraging foreign investments by simplifying regulations. FEMA emphasizes creating a transparent and orderly foreign exchange market, moving away from the restrictive conservation approach of FERA. It empowers the Reserve Bank of India and the central government to regulate foreign exchange in accordance with India's foreign trade policy. Additionally, FEMA categorizes transactions into capital and current accounts, each with specific rules to ensure compliance and effective management. The Foreign Exchange Management Act, or FEMA, establishes a regulatory framework for managing foreign exchange transactions in India. It imposes restrictions on payments to and receipts from individuals outside India, as well as on foreign exchange and security dealings. FEMA categorizes foreign exchange dealings into capital and current account transactions, with the Reserve Bank of India defining these categories and their restrictions. While current account transactions are generally free, capital account transactions are subject to stricter controls by the RBI. All foreign exchange transactions must be conducted through authorized persons, ensuring compliance with FEMA's provisions. Additionally, Indian residents are permitted to own foreign assets or property under specific conditions, such as inheritance or prior ownership while living abroad. The Foreign Exchange Management Act, or FEMA, establishes a comprehensive framework for managing foreign exchange in India. The Reserve Bank of India and the central government are the primary authorities responsible for creating and enforcing these regulations. All rules under FEMA are designed to align with India's foreign trade policy, ensuring consistency with the nation's economic goals. The framework is dynamic, allowing for periodic updates to adapt to changing economic conditions and global trade practices. Compliance is mandatory for individuals and entities involved in foreign exchange transactions, with penalties for violations. Transactions must be conducted through authorized dealers, and proper documentation and reporting are required to maintain transparency. Additionally, certain transactions are prohibited under FEMA, and the RBI actively monitors and enforces these regulations to ensure orderly foreign exchange management. The Reserve Bank of India plays a crucial role in managing the country's currency through a combination of capital controls and active market trading. For current account transactions, there are no restrictions on currency conversion, enabling free buying and selling of foreign exchange, although trade barriers may still apply. On the capital account, foreign institutional investors can invest in Indian securities within certain limits, and local firms are allowed to take capital abroad for global expansion. However, Indian households face restrictions in diversifying their investments globally, reflecting a partial convertibility of the capital account. Over time, India is moving towards full de facto convertibility, expanding the scope of both current and capital account operations. This gradual shift aims to align India's currency management with global economic practices. Foreign exchange transactions involve converting one country's currency into another, influenced by trade, investment, and tourism. In a free economy, currency values are determined by supply and demand, though some countries peg their currencies to others. India follows a managed float system, where the Reserve Bank of India intervenes to stabilize the rupee's exchange rate without fixing it to a specific value. The RBI's role is crucial in ensuring low volatility and regulating currency convertibility. Additionally, India enforces foreign exchange controls, such as routing trade transactions through authorized banks and limiting currency import and export. These measures ensure a stable and regulated forex market. The Indian rupee operates under a market-determined exchange rate system, but the Reserve Bank of India intervenes to manage volatility and ensure stability. This approach, known as a managed float system, allows the RBI to trade actively in the USD/INR market without pegging the rupee to any specific currency. Customs regulations further restrict the import and export of rupees, with limits on cash amounts and restrictions on high-denomination notes in Nepal. Recently, the rupee has depreciated against the US dollar but gained value against other currencies, reflecting global economic trends. Unlike China, which pegs its currency, India focuses on reducing volatility through strategic interventions by the RBI. Foreign exchange controls are essential tools used by governments to regulate international trade and currency transactions. These controls aim to maintain economic stability by managing capital flow and ensuring compliance with national policies. In India, the Reserve Bank of India plays a pivotal role in overseeing these transactions under the Foreign Exchange Management Act of 1999. Common measures include routing all trade transactions through banking channels and restricting currency exchange to authorized dealers. Importers and exporters are required to use at Category I banks for their transactions, ensuring that all activities align with RBI guidelines. While such controls were once widespread, they are now primarily seen in transitional economies, reflecting a shift towards economic liberalization globally. Under FEMA, authorized persons are categorized into four distinct groups, each with specific roles and permissions. Category I includes entities like state cooperative banks and commercial banks, which handle all current and capital account operations as per RBI guidelines. Category 2 comprises cooperative banks and regional rural banks, focusing on non-commercial current account transactions and activities approved for full-fledged money changers. Category 3 involves select financial institutions that manage transactions incidental to foreign exchange. Lastly, Category 4 includes entities like the Department of Post and full-fledged money changers, authorized to buy and sell foreign currency for travel purposes. This categorization ensures a regulated and compliant foreign exchange system. Under FEMA regulations, individuals can bring foreign exchange into India without any limit, except for currency notes, bank notes, and traveler's checks, which require declaration if they exceed certain thresholds. Specifically, if the total value of these items exceeds $10,000 or the cash portion alone exceeds $5,000, a declaration must be made to customs using the currency declaration form. Residents returning from abroad, except from Nepal and Bhutan, are allowed to bring Indian currency notes up to 25,000 rupees. For Nepal and Bhutan, there is no limit for denominations up to 100 rupees. Additionally, the Reserve Bank of India may grant special permissions for importing currency notes of the Government of India or Reserve Bank, subject to specific conditions. These regulations ensure proper monitoring and compliance with FEMA guidelines. When bringing foreign exchange into India, there are specific rules and limits to follow. Individuals can send foreign exchange into India without any limit, as long as it is not in the form of currency notes, bank notes, or traveler's checks. For those bringing foreign exchange into India, a declaration to customs authorities is required if the total value exceeds certain thresholds. Specifically, no declaration is needed if the combined value of currency notes, bank notes, and traveler's checks is under $10,000 or its equivalent. Additionally, the cash portion of foreign currency notes must not exceed $5,000 or its equivalent to avoid declaration. These regulations ensure compliance while facilitating the smooth import of foreign exchange. Indian residents returning from abroad are subject to specific limits on the amount of Indian currency they can bring back. For those returning from countries other than Nepal and Bhutan, the limit is 25,000 rupees. However, if the currency is being brought from Nepal or Bhutan, there is no limit on the amount, but the denominations must not exceed 100 rupees. These regulations are part of the Foreign Exchange Management Act, which aims to maintain proper currency management and compliance. Understanding these rules is essential for ensuring smooth travel and adherence to legal requirements. Foreign currency accounts play a crucial role in facilitating international transactions under FEMA. Participants in international exhibitions or trade fairs can open temporary accounts abroad to deposit proceeds from sales, but these funds must be repatriated to India within a month. Exporters with a strong track record can apply to the Reserve Bank of India to open accounts either domestically or internationally, adhering to specific terms. Indian entities with overseas offices can also maintain such accounts for business operations, while CEZ units are allowed to open accounts with authorized banks in India. Additionally, project and service exporters can maintain accounts to support their international activities, provided they comply with the standard conditions. The Diamond Dollar Account Scheme is tailored for firms in the diamond and precious metals sector to facilitate their foreign currency transactions. To qualify, firms must have at least 2 years of experience in importing or exporting diamonds, gemstones, or jewelry, and an average annual turnover of 3 crore rupees over the last 3 licensing years. Eligible firms can open up to 5 diamond dollar accounts with their banks. Applications for these accounts must follow the format prescribed by the Reserve Bank of India. These accounts are specifically designed to streamline business transactions in foreign currencies, ensuring compliance with the Reserve Bank of India and FEMA regulations. This framework aims to promote trade and investment in the sector while maintaining regulatory oversight. The Exchange Earner's Foreign Currency (EEFC) account is a foreign currency account available to Indian residents through authorized dealer category A banks. It is specifically designed to help exporters manage their foreign currency earnings efficiently. Key features include the ability to retain foreign currency earnings, repatriate export proceeds, and handle transactions flexibly. Exporters can also use the account for trade-related loans, advances, and repayment of packing credit advances. Compliance with RBI guidelines, including anti-money laundering and Know Your Customer regulations, is mandatory. The account provides significant benefits, such as mitigating exchange rate risks, facilitating international payments, and ensuring smoother management of foreign currency earnings. Under FEMA, import transactions are governed by specific guidelines to ensure compliance and smooth operations. Authorized dealer banks are responsible for processing remittances, provided all necessary details are submitted and the transactions comply with the law. Import licenses are required for goods in the negative list, and banks must ensure adherence to any special conditions attached to these licenses. Purchasers of foreign exchange must use it for declared or permissible purposes and provide evidence of import to confirm the value of goods matches the remittance. Import payments should generally be settled within 6 months, though extensions are possible in cases like disputes or financial difficulties. Additionally, advanced remittances for imports are allowed under certain conditions, such as guarantees for large amounts or waivers for public sector entities. When making remittances for import payments, authorized dealer category I banks must follow FEMA regulations and general foreign exchange guidelines. They must ensure that the transactions are genuine, meaning payments are made for goods that are actually being imported. Importers are required to provide all necessary documentation, such as invoices and contracts, to substantiate the transaction. Additionally, all remittances must comply with the foreign trade policy and RBI guidelines. Payments can be made through various authorized methods, including bank drafts and pay orders, as long as they are routed through approved banking channels. Finally, these remittances should be completed within 6 months from the shipment date, unless there are valid reasons for delays, such as performance guarantees. Import licenses play a crucial role in regulating imports, especially for goods listed in the negative list under the foreign trade policy. Authorized dealer category, IBANCs are responsible for verifying the for exchange control purposes copy of the license when opening letters of credit. They must also ensure that any special conditions attached to the licenses are strictly followed. Proper documentation is essential, as banks are required to maintain copies of utilized licenses until they are reviewed by internal auditors or inspectors. This process ensures compliance with the foreign trade policy, facilitating smooth import transactions and avoiding potential penalties. When acquiring foreign exchange, individuals must adhere to specific obligations under FEMA regulations. First, the foreign exchange must be used for the declared purpose or any other permissible purpose under the Act. Importers are required to provide evidence of goods imported into India, ensuring the value of remittance aligns with the imported goods. Payments for imports can be made using international card or in rupees through credit or debit card, as long as the transaction complies with the foreign trade policy. Additionally, payments can be made in rupees for expenses of foreign visitors, through checks or drafts for gold or silver purchases, or by crediting the non-resident account of the exporter. Authorized dealer banks play a crucial role in ensuring compliance with these regulations and verifying proper documentation for all transactions. Under FEMA guidelines, there are specific time limits for settling import payments. For normal imports, payments must be completed within 6 months from the shipment date unless amounts are withheld for performance guarantees. Deferred payment arrangements, such as suppliers and buyers' credit, are allowed for up to 5 years and must follow specific procedural guidelines. Import of books is an exception, with no time limit for remittances, provided interest payments comply with instructions. Authorized banks can grant extensions for settlement delays, up to 6 months at a time, with a maximum of 3 years. These extensions are subject to conditions, including limits on outstanding amounts and ensuring the transactions are not under investigation. Under FEMA regulations, import payments must generally be settled within 6 months from the shipment date, unless specific exceptions apply, such as performance guarantees. Authorized banks can permit delayed payments in cases of disputes or financial difficulties, but interest on such delays is capped at 3 years. Deferred payment arrangements, like trade credits, are allowed for up to 5 years under specific guidelines. Extensions for settlement can be granted for up to 6 months at a time, with a maximum of 3 years, provided the transactions meet certain conditions. These include ensuring the transactions are not under investigation and that outstanding amounts remain within prescribed limits. Deferred payment arrangements, such as suppliers and buyers credit, are classified as trade credits under FEMA. These arrangements allow importers a time limit of up to 5 years for settlement, providing flexibility in managing payments. Authorized dealer category IBANCs can grant extensions for settlement up to 6 months at a time, with a maximum of 3 years, provided certain conditions are met. These conditions include ensuring that transactions are not under investigation and that outstanding amounts remain within prescribed limits. For cases that exceed these limits or are not covered by standard guidelines, the matter must be referred to the Reserve Bank of India for further consideration. This framework ensures a balance between regulatory compliance and operational flexibility for importers. Under FEMA, remittances for the import of books are not bound by any specific time limit, providing significant flexibility to importers. However, if interest payments are involved, they must strictly follow the guidelines set by the Reserve Bank of India. This approach aligns with FEMA's broader objective of facilitating international trade while ensuring compliance with foreign exchange regulations. The RBI plays a crucial role in overseeing these transactions, ensuring transparency and adherence to the law. Additionally, this provision encourages the import of educational and literary materials, fostering knowledge exchange and intellectual development. Authorized dealer category, IBANCs play a crucial role in granting extensions for import payment settlements. They can approve extensions of up to 6 months at a time, with a maximum limit of 3 years, provided certain conditions are met. These include delays due to disputes, financial difficulties, or legal actions by the importer. However, transactions under investigation by enforcement agencies are strictly excluded. For extensions beyond 1 year, the importer's total outstanding must not exceed $1 million or 10% of their average import remittances over the last two financial years. Additionally, all extensions must be properly documented, with the new date recorded in the remarks column to ensure transparency and compliance. Third-party payments in import transactions are subject to specific conditions to ensure compliance and transparency. First, there must be a firm irrevocable purchase order or a tripartite agreement, unless valid documentary evidence justifies the payment. Authorized dealer banks are responsible for verifying the authenticity of the transaction and must consider the FATF statement before proceeding. The invoice should explicitly mention that the payment is to be made to the named third party. Similarly, the bill of entry must include the shipper's name and a note about the third-party payment. Lastly, importers are required to comply with all existing instructions, including those related to advance payments. These measures collectively ensure that third-party payments align with FEMA regulations and maintain financial integrity. Authorized dealers play a crucial role in facilitating international trade by issuing guarantees for import-related transactions. They can provide guarantees for deferred payment imports, but only with RBI approval. For goods imports, they may issue guarantees, letters of undertaking, or letters of comfort, adhering to the foreign trade policy and RBI guidelines. Service importers can also benefit from guarantees, though amounts exceeding $500,000 require additional approvals, except for public sector companies or government departments. For these entities, guarantees above $100,000 need prior approval from the Ministry of Finance. These provisions ensure a structured and compliant approach to managing import-related obligations. Advance remittance for importing goods is governed by specific regulations to ensure compliance and mitigate risks. Authorized dealer category, IBANCs can approve such remittances without a ceiling, but certain conditions must be met. For amounts exceeding $200,000, a standby letter of credit or a guarantee from a reputable international bank is mandatory. However, importers with a good track record may be exempted from this requirement for remittances up to $5 million, based on the bank's internal policies. Public sector companies or government departments face additional requirements, such as obtaining a waiver from the Ministry of Finance for remittances over $100,000 if they cannot secure a bank guarantee. Banks must also establish internal guidelines to manage these transactions effectively. Advance remittance for importing rough diamonds is governed by specific FEMA regulations. Authorized dealer category, IBANCs can approve such remittances without limits or guarantees, provided the importer and the overseas mining company meet certain conditions. The mining company must have a recommendation from the Gem and Jewelry Export Promotion Council, and the importer must have a good track record. Transactions must comply with the Kimberley certification to prevent conflict diamond imports and adhere to the terms of the sale contract. Banks are required to perform KYC checks, ensure due diligence, and monitor the submission of import documentation through the IPM system. These measures ensure transparency and compliance in the import process. FEMA provides a structured framework for managing export transactions to ensure compliance and transparency. Exporters are required to declare their exports and repatriate proceeds within stipulated timelines. Payments can be received through various authorized methods, including bank drafts and international credit card, with special provisions for certain regions and goods. Advance payments are allowed under strict conditions, such as shipment within a year and capped interest rates. Additionally, online payment gateways can be used for small value transactions, provided due diligence is maintained. These guidelines aim to streamline export processes while safeguarding economic interests. Exporters are typically required to declare their exports of goods and software using prescribed forms. However, FEMA regulations allow for waivers under specific conditions. For instance, at Category I, banks can approve waivers for goods exported free of cost for promotional purposes, up to 2% of the exporter's average annual exports over the last 3 years, with a cap of 5 lakh rupees. Status holder exporters enjoy higher limits, with waivers up to 10 lakh rupees or 2% of their average annual export realization, whichever is greater. Additionally, exports that do not involve foreign exchange transactions require a special waiver from the Reserve Bank of India. These provisions aim to streamline export processes while ensuring compliance with FEMA guidelines. Export payments must be routed through an authorized dealer bank using approved methods like bank drafts, pay orders, or international credit card. Transactions with Nepal and Bhutan are typically settled in Indian rupees, but exports to Nepal may also involve foreign exchange under the ECU mechanism. Gem and jewelry units in CEZs and EOUs can use precious metals for payment, provided the contract specifies this. Online payment gateway service providers can facilitate payments for exports up to $10,000, ensuring funds are repatriated to India. Additionally, the ACU mechanism allows settlements in ACU dollar or euro, with flexibility for trade with Myanmar and Iran to use freely convertible currencies. Exporters must ensure that the full value of goods is received through authorized banks, adhering to FEMA regulations. Payments can be made using various methods, such as bank drafts, checks, foreign currency notes, or international credit card. For goods sold to overseas buyers visiting India, the export declaration form is released only after funds are credited to the Nostro account. Trade transactions with Nepal and Bhutan are generally settled in Indian rupees, but exports to Nepal can be paid in foreign exchange under specific conditions. Additionally, CEZ and EOU units can export precious metals if the contract specifies their value. Authorized banks also facilitate export-related remittances through online payment gateways, ensuring smooth and compliant transactions. Trade transactions under FEMA can be settled through various methods, ensuring compliance with regulations. Export payments must be routed through an authorized dealer bank using methods like bank drafts, foreign currency notes, or international credit card. Special conditions apply when payments are received from overseas buyers during their visit to India, requiring proper documentation and certification. Transactions with Nepal and Bhutan are generally settled in Indian rupees, but exports to Nepal can use the ACU mechanism for foreign exchange payments. Precious metals transactions by CEZs and EOUs are settled based on the value of exported jewelry. Additionally, third-party payments are permitted if supported by a firm order and a tripartite agreement, ensuring the authenticity of the transaction. Authorized dealer category I banks are permitted to facilitate export-related payments through online payment gateway service providers, but they must follow specific guidelines. First, banks are required to conduct due diligence on the OPJSPs to ensure compliance. This facility is limited to export transactions valued at a maximum of $10,000. To manage payments, banks must open a Nostro collection account, ensuring that exporters' funds are not retained in notional accounts but are swept into the Nostro account. Permissible debits to this account include repatriating export proceeds, paying OPJSP fees, and handling chargebacks for failed obligations. This framework not only streamlines international trade payments but also ensures adherence to FEMA regulations, promoting transparency and efficiency. The Asian Clearing Union, or ACU, provides a streamlined mechanism for settling trade transactions among member countries. Participants can choose to settle in ACU dollar or ACU euro, which are equivalent to $1 and €1, respectively. Authorized dealer category, IBANs play a crucial role by maintaining ACU dollar and euro accounts with correspondent banks in participating countries. All eligible payments must be processed through these accounts to ensure compliance with FEMA regulations. However, there are specific relaxations, such as allowing Indo-Myanmar trade to be settled in any freely convertible currency. Similarly, trade with Iran is settled outside the ACU mechanism in permitted currencies due to payment challenges. This system facilitates trade while maintaining regulatory compliance. Third-party payments in export and import transactions are permitted under FEMA, but they must meet specific conditions. First, a firm irrevocable order supported by a tripartite agreement is required, unless valid documentary evidence justifies an exception. Second, the authorized dealer bank must verify the authenticity of the transaction and adhere to FATF guidelines. Third, the invoice must explicitly state that payment is to be made to the named third party. Additionally, the bill of entry should include the shipper's name and a note about the third party payment. Finally, importers must comply with all relevant instructions, including those for advance payments. These measures ensure transparency and regulatory compliance in international trade. Exporters are required to bring back the full value of their exports to India within a specified time frame. Generally, this period is 9 months from the date of export, and it applies to all exporters, including those in CESs, EOUs, and other specialized units. For goods sent to warehouses abroad, the realization period is extended to 15 months from the shipment date. These regulations are designed to ensure that export proceeds are accounted for and contribute to the Indian economy. By adhering to these timelines, exporters fulfill their obligations under FEMA and support economic stability. When exporters receive advance payments, they must ensure shipment of goods within 1 year, with the interest rates capped at LIBOR plus 100 basis points. If shipments cannot be made within this time frame, refunds or interest payments require prior RBI approval. Exporters with a strong track record can access long-term advances for up to 10 years, provided they meet conditions like firm contracts and compliance with AML and KYC guidelines. For goods requiring extended manufacturing periods, advance payments are allowed under strict compliance measures. Additionally, advances exceeding $100 million must be reported to the RBI, and misuse of funds for non-export purposes is prohibited. Exporters participating in trade fairs or exhibitions abroad can export goods without prior RBI approval, simplifying the process. Unsold items can be sold in the same or a third country, even at discounted rates, or gifted up to a value of $5,000. At category I, banks are authorized to approve the export declaration form, provided conditions like re-import of unsold items and repatriation of sale proceeds are fulfilled. Additionally, exporters must report the disposal of all items and ensure compliance with FEMA regulations. To maintain transparency, all transactions are subject to a 100% audit by internal inspectors. Exporters seeking to export goods for re-import after repairs, maintenance, or testing must obtain EDF approval from AD Category I banks. This approval requires the submission of a bill of entry within 1 month of re-import. In cases where goods are destroyed during testing, a certificate from the testing agency can be provided instead. AD Category I banks play a crucial role in evaluating these requests and ensuring compliance with the Reserve Bank of India's guidelines. This process ensures transparency and accountability in managing foreign exchange transactions. FEMA provides detailed guidelines to ensure compliance in service exports. For software exports, invoicing must be periodic or milestone-based, with declarations submitted via Softex forms for valuation. Project and service exporters benefit from facilities like inter-project fund transfers and machinery usage, but must adhere to post-award approval requirements. Repatriation of foreign exchange earnings is mandatory, with specific rules for on-site software contracts. Additionally, the export of Indian currency is limited to Rs. 25,000, ensuring controlled outflows. These measures collectively ensure transparency and compliance in international trade. When exporting software, it is crucial to adhere to specific invoicing requirements. For long-duration contracts, exporters must bill clients monthly or upon reaching contractual milestones, with the final invoice issued within 15 days of completion. For one-time operations, invoices should be raised within 15 days of transmission. Exporters are also required to submit Softex forms in quadruplicate to designated officials within 30 days of the invoice date. These officials will evaluate and certify the invoices, making amendments to the declared value if necessary. Following these guidelines ensures compliance with FEMA regulations and smooth international trade operations. Project and service exports are vital components of international trade. Project exports include engineering goods and turnkey contracts, while service exports cover sectors like IT and consulting. Exporters must secure approvals from authorized dealer banks or Exim Bank for deferred payment terms or global tenders. Post-award approvals are granted without monetary limits, ensuring compliance with FEMA. Flexibility is provided through inter-project transfers of machinery and funds, foreign currency accounts, and investments in short-term instruments. Additionally, software exporters are exempt from repatriating 30% of contract value but must repatriate profits after completing contracts. Under FEMA regulations, the export of Indian currency is subject to strict limits and conditions. Residents of India can carry up to 25,000 rupees in Indian currency notes when traveling abroad, except to Nepal and Bhutan. Non-residents, excluding citizens of Pakistan and Bangladesh or travelers to and from these countries, are also allowed to carry up to 25,000 rupees, but only when exiting through an airport. Any export beyond these limits requires explicit permission from the Reserve Bank of India. These measures are designed to monitor and control currency export, ensuring compliance and preventing misuse. By adhering to these regulations, the integrity of the financial system is maintained. Under FEMA, exporters of services are not required to submit a formal declaration for their exports, which simplifies the process. However, they are obligated to ensure that any foreign exchange earnings from their services are realized when they become due or accrue. Once realized, these earnings must be repatriated to India in accordance with FEMA rules and regulations. Additionally, exporters must comply with all relevant FEMA guidelines to ensure proper management of foreign exchange earnings. These measures help maintain the integrity of India's foreign exchange system and support its reserves. Merchant trade under FEMA involves strict compliance with export and import regulations. Transactions must be completed within 9 months, with no foreign exchange outlay exceeding 4 months. Merchants must be genuine traders, capable of completing transactions profitably, and not merely financial intermediaries. Authorized banks play a crucial role by ensuring KYC compliance, verifying transaction documents, and monitoring the matching of trade legs. Advance payments for imports are permitted under specific conditions, and letters of credit can be used to secure transactions. These guidelines ensure that merchant trade is conducted transparently and efficiently. To engage in merchant trade under FEMA, merchants must meet specific eligibility criteria. First, they need to be regular customers of the authorized dealer, ensuring a trusted relationship. They must also be genuine traders in goods, with a proven history of legitimate trading activities, rather than acting as financial intermediaries. Additionally, the authorized dealer must evaluate the merchant's capability to fulfill trade obligations, ensuring the transaction's success. Finally, the trade should contribute to a net profit in foreign exchange for India, supporting the country's economic objectives. These criteria ensure that merchant trade aligns with FEMA's regulatory framework and benefits the national economy. Merchant trade transactions require strict adherence to specific terms to ensure compliance and smooth operations. First, inward remittance from the overseas buyer must be received before making outward payments to the supplier. Alternatively, an irrevocable letter of credit can be used, ensuring equal payment terms for both parties. Advance remittances are permitted under certain conditions, such as the merchant being a regular customer and the transaction being profitable. All transactions must be routed through an authorized dealer in foreign exchange category IBANC to ensure compliance with regulations. Finally, banks must verify that the trade results in reasonable profits and aligns with India's foreign trade policy. Advance remittance for merchant trade is governed by specific FEMA guidelines to ensure compliance and transparency. Authorized dealer category, IBANCs play a crucial role in facilitating these transactions, provided the importer meets the eligibility criteria. While there is no ceiling for advance remittance, transactions exceeding $200,000 require a standby letter of credit or a bank guarantee, unless exceptions apply. Importers must also submit necessary documentation, such as the bill of entry, and adhere to KYC norms. Special provisions exist for rough diamonds, including recommendations from the Gem and Jewelry Export Promotion Council and adherence to Kimberley certification norms to prevent conflict diamonds. These measures ensure that advance remittance transactions are secure and compliant with international standards. Merchant trade under FEMA is governed by specific guidelines to ensure compliance and transparency. Goods involved must not enter the domestic tariff area and should remain unaltered during the trade. Only items permitted under India's foreign trade policy can be traded. Both export and import rules must be followed, and banks play a crucial role in verifying transactions and adhering to KYC and AML norms. Transactions must be routed through the same bank, completed within 9 months, and adhere to strict timelines for foreign exchange outlay. Short-term credit options are available, and advance payments must meet specific conditions. Banks are also required to report any defaults to the RBI, ensuring accountability and regulatory oversight. The Foreign Exchange Management Act, or FEMA, plays a pivotal role in India's economic framework. It simplifies foreign exchange transactions, enabling businesses to participate more effectively in international trade. FEMA divides transactions into capital and current accounts, providing specific rules for each to ensure clarity and order. The Reserve Bank of India and the central government are key players, regulating and monitoring these transactions to align with trade policies. Compliance and proper documentation are emphasized to maintain transparency and accountability. Additionally, FEMA's liberalized approach has been instrumental in attracting foreign investments, fostering economic growth and globalization. In this lesson, we explored the Foreign Exchange Management Act FEMA of 1999, which replaced FERA to align with India's economic liberalization. We delved into FEMA's objectives, key features, and its comprehensive regulatory framework for foreign exchange transactions. The lesson covered currency management by the Reserve Bank of India, guidelines for import and export transactions, and the roles of authorized persons under FEMA. We also examined specific provisions for merchant trade, foreign currency accounts, and compliance requirements for import/export payments. Lastly, we discussed the importance of adhering to FEMA's rules to ensure smooth international trade and financial operations.